back to another episode of Study Break. I'm your Wednesday host, Amal, and today we're joined by...
I'm Taylor, and I am from Huntersville, North Carolina, and I go to community school at Davidson.
My name is Annika. I'm in Charlotte, North Carolina as well, and I go to Corbin Community School.
My lovely guests, the reason why I invited them for today's topic, which is navigating high school sports as a woman... they're both prominent athletes within like our communities and everything. So if you guys want to go straight into that and talk about you and your sport and how that makes you you, basically.
Annika, do you mind if I go ahead?
Absolutely, go first.
So basically I've been doing cross country, track and swim since sixth grade, and I just love being part of a team and being part of something that's bigger than myself. And I feel like it's also really encourages me to be better at school and everything else that I do, because it takes so much determination and grit to just go after school every day and practice in heat, cold weather. That's not how you say that, but hot and cold weather, and just kind of, you know, give your all to something. And I've just had a lot of fun persevering through that. So, yeah.
I love that. I think I started playing tennis like, I don't want to count my middle school year, because that was like, that was not the most competitive tennis, but I started playing on varsity my freshman year of high school. And no, we don't have enough people for a team. So I automatically got put on varsity, and that was really intimidating. It was intimidating at first, because I mean, I didn't think I was good enough to be on varsity, but I mean, for the past 3 years I've been on, I've definitely felt better about it. But I don't know. I do enjoy playing tennis, I think. And sometimes I'm not the most motivated to play. Like, I'm practicing and I'm like, I really don't want to be here right now. I'm tired. I have stuff to do. But it feels so good to, like, actually play. And especially being challenged by, like, more experienced players. That's, like... That feels so good. It's like, I know it sounds bad, but like winning a match, that feels really good.
It does not sound bad at all to me. I've been playing soccer for a while, since I was 3, but I didn't start competitively playing soccer until like my freshman year, I believe. And the way I got into soccer is my family is a gigantic soccer family, I guess. And my oldest brother, he played football. He used to play football for App State until he got injured. So I've kind of just followed along with my brothers. I have 3 older brothers, and that pushed me into a more athletic environment, I guess. But once I kind of integrated into that atmosphere, I noticed the way women were treated was completely different than how men were treated in the athletic environment. And growing up surrounded by like male cousins and male brothers, I didn't think that really affected me until I got into more competitive environments necessarily. So for you guys who are also stepping into co-ed, technically co-ed sports, because I know tennis is mostly co-ed as well, and then you run cross country, Taylor, and track, which is definitely a mix between two genders, how did you feel that kind of altered your perspective on anything as far as like assessing your gender in these type of athletic environments?
Yeah, it's definitely, cross country is definitely a co-ed sport. I mean, even though the points don't matter for boys and girls, it matters just for girls or just for boys. But it's always hard to like run with the boys, because, you know, I've always gotten comments like, oh, you're pretty good for a girl, you know, and I know that's like what people say in, you know, 2000 sitcoms, but still, I feel like that still applies sometimes. And me personally, it pushes me to be better than them, but it's also hard because genetically we're built differently. Men are built with more strength and they can like, you know, harness that more, I guess. So it's kind of encouraging to try and not prove myself, but just show that, you know, it shouldn't be treated as differently. Like, you always hear things about how, you know, nobody cares about women's professional basketball. Like, nobody knows it's ever happening. And even though men's basketball is more entertaining to some people, it's like, it still isn't treated the same, which I think is just kind of the way that we've all grown up. So I think basically what I'm trying to say is that it's been the norm for so long. So I'm like used to it, but we shouldn't have to be used to it.
Yeah.
And I just use it to make me want to be better.
Honestly, it's totally fair. For me, for tennis, I know it's usually supposed to be like a, it could be separated or it could be like co-ed. For school, I play against only like female teams, but in the spring, I think I do JTT, which is junior team tennis in Charlotte, and that whole thing is co-ed. It's 15, 18. I might be wrong, but everyone there, boys, girls, doesn't matter. Honestly, I think it can be a little intimidating to play with. I mean, for me to play against another girl, I even if they're better than me, I feel more like it's okay. But then when you're playing against a guy, I think it's kind of like, oh, I need to like not necessarily prove myself, but I want to be good and hopefully beat them. But I think that's like a little achievement, not to be like, oh, I'm beating a guy, but it's like a little mental achievement. Even in professionals, I think I don't see much about like women tennis players. I know there's like a couple famous ones like Venus and Serena Williams, but although I know they're professionals, I don't hear much about them. I hear more of like, I can't say I have any pro male players, but I hear more about them than I do any females. And it's very like downplayed, I think.
I think as far as the atmosphere in those type of situations, it obviously gets more prominent the higher up you go, which I feel like that starts to move into family dynamics. I know my dad doesn't really want me playing basketball because he knows if I put all of my energy to it and maybe go pro, and I'm not that I'm good enough to go pro, but if I did go pro, you wouldn't be able to make all of your living off of that. You would probably have to do another job along with that. But male NBA players, you know, they are rich to the core, even if you're just a bench player. So he kind of steers me in more definitely a direction where the pay gap isn't as big, especially like women's soccer, it's not that big. But one thing that is such a big difference into two it, between the two is the viewer count, like Taylor was talking about. You grow up watching NBA games and they're male NBA games. You grow up watching football games and, well, I don't really know of any female football teams, but you watch football games and you're seeing the men on the field, or you're going to a shop and you see so many male players' jerseys. And I feel like it has kind of integrated into our culture. So whenever people bring up these conversations where it's like, why don't women get more advertisement? People are like, oh, they're not as interesting. I don't think it's the entertainment value that's different. I think it just has been slowly ingrained into our culture, like Taylor was talking about, and encouraged. And that actually kind of segues me into our next topic. It starts from tryouts, honestly, because when male sport tryouts are coming up, you hear so much about them and they encourage every guy to attend. But when a female sport tryout is coming out, like tennis tryouts, I didn't even know that those were going on. You know, I had to hear from Annika that they went on. So I feel like it starts from then. And I want to get you guys' opinion on that. So do you feel like female sports is advertised less? Do you feel like it's advertised more? How do you feel about that?
The female sports are very much advertised less than male sports. Like, okay, for social media, I rarely see, oh, okay, except for volleyball. That's like one of the main things I see, especially for my school. It's like, oh, come to the volleyball games or come to football, come to men's soccer. But I never ever see like come to tennis or come to women's basketball, like, or especially basketball, men's basketball. I see that all the time. And even on, like, we use Schoology for our school. So even on there, I hardly see announcements like, hey, girls' tennis is having a game at this time, this place. I never see that, but I see it for men's soccer, especially. And I know that the tryout process for certain teams is like really, really lengthy. I think boys soccer, that's like my one good example.
Boys.
All I hear is that the tryouts are like really, really crazy and intense. But for me, we didn't even have tryouts. Like my freshman year, we, I mean, we sort of had a tryout. It was like one thing. I just I signed myself up freshman year and I've been playing ever since.
Kind of like what you were saying, Annika, with volleyball. I think that you're so like I love how you pointed that out because there is no men's volleyball team. At some schools there are, but not at Corvian or the school I'm at. And I think that that might be one of the reasons why so many girls like that's become a really popular sport recently is because it's one of the only sports that doesn't have a male alternative at most schools. And I think that like that's why it gets so much recognition, but that's just my reason. But also to answer your question, Amal, I think that for me it's kind of hard because cross country, there's never really tryouts. Like everybody makes a team in cross country unless you're at like a huge 4A school. And for swim as well, there's not really tryouts because I've always been at smaller schools and as track as well. But I noticed recently how a lot more men are involved in athletics than women. And I'm not even sure if that's just because like they like watching it more, or like playing it more. I love watching football. I think it's super fun, but I think maybe some women might be scared to like join a team or something because they don't want to be judged. I hear that a lot, like, oh, well, I don't want to join cross country because I'm not fast or I'm not good at this. But then a lot of men be like, you know what, I'm gonna join golf. Might as well just try it, you know? So I think that's something to point out too, is that sometimes women can be more intimidated to try something that is typically not in their favor.
I agree with Taylor's point, and I kind of want to expand on a few things. As far as I noticed it, not to name our school, but our school has, I think they've done a pretty good job in integrating women and encouraging them to try out for these big sports. Like they did a breakfast thing for women in sports last year, right? So I feel like they're doing as much of a job as they can. So you can't really blame the institution, but I know, especially in high school, people are less willing to try out for things in fear of being judged. And I feel like men specifically, they don't really have that barrier in that way that we do, as far as embarrassment goes. And I can be wrong. Please correct me if I'm wrong. With the whole advertising thing, I feel like the more people who are on the team, the more you're going to know about it, you know? And the difference I feel is with the men's soccer team, there's like a good 20 or 30 people on there, if I'm not wrong, this year. A lot of people. And with Annika's team, you guys were struggling to get like 8 players, right? I believe.
I
Am
think
I wrong about that?
no, you're right. I think at most, like since freshman year, the most we've had on a team was 7 people.
Yeah, so I'm not necessarily blaming that on like a gender issue. I'm just saying at the end of the day, it's people willingness. Like if they want to do the sport, if they don't, I just feel like specifically women in this age of hyper feminism in a way. Barbie movie. I don't want to call it like an age of a woman uprising in a way, but as long as we kind of help people who show interest in joining a sport, we can carry that on and hopefully make some big changes with like clubs like Young Women Leadership and things like that and encourage our fellow women to join sports and stuff. And that brings me to my next topic, which is newcomers on the team. Do you feel like, I know in bigger teams, especially with football, the rookies are kind of a bit outcasted, like in movies and stuff like that. Do you feel like it's different for majority women sports, or have you guys noticed a bit of that? And do you feel like that's also a cause of less women joining in sports because they're afraid of that kind of gatekeeping culture in a way?
I think for cross country, it's mainly just a lot of people don't want to run, which honestly, if you don't want to run, I do not blame you. It's if you're not good at it, it's not fun. It's really not fun. And so I think that, well, this year I'm at a new school. Well, okay, let me, sorry. So at Corvian, I did cross country all 4 years and I loved it so much. And the only thing that made me really upset about it every year was that we'd only have like up to 5 girls. And we weren't a very competitive team. Even though we were all very close, like emotionally, we just weren't on the same level physically. And so that just kind of like last year, we had to beg people to join our team. So we had a total of 5 girls, and you can't compete if you have under 5 girls. So it was just kind of a struggle to feel like I wasn't. Whenever you're at that level, you have to make it to states, you have to make it to regionals all by yourself. You can't do that with a team. And that kind of put a lot of pressure on me. And some of my other teammates. And so now that I'm at this new school, there are 12 people on our women's cross country team, which is something I've never experienced before. And I still miss all of my old teammates, but it's kind of nice to just get to experience an environment that has a women's team that's better than our men's team. Because at Corvian, I never experienced that, but I still loved the environment, obviously. But it's just kind of refreshing to, feel that way. And I think that some of the newcomers, really appreciate that there is so many women on the team, and that's probably why they joined, because they're like, oh, okay, well, my friend's doing it, I'll do too,
I love that. I wish, I really wish I had more than like five people on the team. I can say this from experience as like a newcomer when I first joined my team, like freshman year. I was going, this ties into the last point. I felt very like embarrassed to be there because I thought I wasn't as experienced as all my other players. Like our teams, number one and number two, have been playing for I don't even know how long, but they're so good. I'm just saying that now. I felt very like behind is what I think I would call it. But that made me feel like embarrassed more or less. Now that I've been playing for a total of like 3 years, I hope to be someone that like the new players and new teammates can look up to, especially when our number one and two graduate. For newcomers, it can be very overwhelming at first because I mean, you might be with a whole group of girls who you've never met before, and it's like, oh, I don't want to embarrass myself in front of these people. And what if they won't like me? I mean, especially with such a small team, I think we're all very close. Like, I've hung out with my team outside of school, we do stuff together. I think we're all like, no judgment. It's very friendly in my team.
So basically, on all, but to summarize what you both said, you said you feel more welcome in a way when there are more people on the team. And as Annika kind of said, she kind of wishes that translated with her sport. I tried basketball for the first time my freshman year, and it was a small team, I think around seven girls. But honestly, I've never felt such a community in the way of the team because, of course, I play soccer. But with teams that are bigger, I feel like it's harder to connect with people more. So starting off on a small team, especially having to compete with an already established boys team, it felt better to have a group of girls who supported me, who knew struggles that I had outside of the court as well, and could translate that onto the court in a way. And I think, like Taylor said, if you have people around you who kind of encourage you, especially people who you could potentially become friends with outside of sports, I feel like it elevates your game in a way. And if you're a serious athlete who wants to pursue your passions outside, building those friendships, building those feminine friendships in a way where you can ask like, hey, do you have a scrunchie? Or like, I don't bring my shorts, like, can I borrow your shorts? I feel like that kind of adds to your character and builds you up, not only as an athlete, but as a student at whole. Like, you're a student and then an athlete, and it can help you with homework, it can help you with anything. So to add to that point, I feel like it's so important to establish those friendships, and I feel like it's easier to do that with other teammates who are also girls in a way.
But yeah, I totally forgot to mention. I also played basketball in 8th grade, and it was my first year since I was like 9 years old. And our team was, I believe it was 8 girls. And I hadn't played it in all of middle school. So it was like coming in as an 8th grader was kind of a lot of pressure because you're supposed to be good if you're, well, I mean, this is middle school, but like it'd be like being a junior or a senior on JV, you're not expected to do that. So it was kind of a lot of pressure because I'd never played before. But I totally agree with what you said, Amal. Sometimes smaller teams help you build more connections. So, yeah.
No, I think that's totally fair. I think, especially with the smaller teams, it can like branch you out into more people. My sophomore year, I met so many more people that I don't think I would have met if it weren't for my other teammates. But like, I think a good example of like a larger team and not being not together, but very separated in their own ways, I think. My friend who goes to a 4A school, she didn't even know. Like she just made a friend recently, or the past year, I guess, and they're like really, really close now. But they were both on the girls' soccer team, and she didn't even know that the other girl like disliked her at that time because like they were so separated on the team, even though they're literally on the same team. Like, that's crazy.
Yeah. I feel like it gets so congested in the way. And with there being pressure, I know for the girls' basketball games, we used to go on right before the boys. So it would stress a lot of people out because people would come in for the boys' games. So they would be there for the end of our games and be energetic. But they just kind of see like how we're playing. They don't see that we like don't, we barely have enough girls ready to play. We didn't really have coaches that much, and this is not a diss at our school. This podcast is not affiliated at all with our school, by the way. It was a lot, and noticing how those struggles kind of impacted the players was a bit hard during the season. So I feel like if we kind of can eliminate those, it would make more people willing to join the team. You know, like Taylor, bringing it back to Taylor's original point that people worrying about being judged. If we had a more open mind when we're looking at students' performance on the field and stuff like that, it would encourage more people to play, specifically people who are shy. And statistically, women are more shy in that way of trying new things. So I feel like it's really only not only affecting us, but affecting us more than male athletes in a way. Just to kind of not put the whole thing on gender, but to bring it back to its original topic. That's kind of how I feel about that. Now we're going to talk about femininity in sports. What are some big challenges you guys faced as female athletes?
The first one that popped into my head was the uniforms, which freshman year I wasn't very like confident, which is like it's stupid, but like I was not very confident in myself or like my body at that point. But the uniforms were we had I don't know how to describe those. Like I think they might be the same shirts as they are for like cross country, but they're like those not slim fit. I don't know. I don't know how to
No,
describe them.
skirts.
We had skirts and then like the running shirts. I don't know
Oh,
what they're
dry fit.
called. The what?
Dry fit.
The dry fit, yeah. No, it was the dry fit and the skirts. Skirts were not the worst thing, but the shirts were like very, very low cut. And that was not making me very comfortable, especially like we would hang around the school before we went to the matches a lot of the times. And or like when I went to go to the bathroom to change or just to like get some water. It's just like uncomfortable to walk around the halls and just wear that because I felt so like exposed or uncomfortable. I was in the bathroom at so my school has the bathrooms with like it's only in the girls' bathroom. It has like a large mirror right in front of the sinks, and I was standing in front of the mirror, and I was in my uniform, and some guy walked past, and he just looked at me and gave me like a really weird look. I was like, "Oh, I didn't think much of it." And then later, he's like, "Annika, are you on the tennis team?" I'm like, "Yeah, what about it?" He's like, "Yeah, no, I saw you in uniform. It looked really good." Like, ugh, that was not the best thing I've heard, but that and like. The whole uniform itself, it's changed, thank God, over the years. So I'm happy about that. But that's one issue I don't really appreciate. But I think it's also like being sexualized in the sport. Tennis is not a very like it's not very hands-on. I mean, it's a racket sport, but it's not like everyone's all together, whatever. I'm trying to like figure out how I'm gonna lead that.
Like wrestling.
Yeah, no, I like wrestling, but I mean, at some points it can be like very over sexualized. Literally, last week when I was playing my doubles game, we got catcalled when we're like right by the road. That was entertaining. I mean, I think especially in women's sports, it happens much more, like, it happens way too often.
I can totally relate to the whole like being sexualized thing. I feel like running is definitely one of those sports where you can kind of do it anywhere. So I'll just be running, like I was at the beach and I was just running, and then these like 16-year-old boys drove past in a truck saying the word yummy. And that's like that just made me so disgusted. And I'm not trying to sound like a pick me here and be like, that's right, some guys call me yummy. Like, no, that's disgusting. Like if you're saying that, you were not raised right, just saying. But like there's so many stories of women going on runs and being abducted and raped, and it scares me. Like, I wasn't allowed to go on a run by myself until I was about 15 and a half, maybe. And that was just across my street, and I had to keep my phone on me the whole time. And sometimes I'd even have to bring, like, pepper spray or something if it was like too late, just because, like, it's kind of a scary world sometimes, and you never know, like, what's going to happen. So whenever I'm running at the school or with other people, I don't feel scared. But I totally agree with what Annika was saying, is where it should happen way less often.
Those are really sad stories. I was listening to you guys talk and that actually got a wee bit emotional because like you just deal with so much as like a female athlete when you're just trying to do like basic stuff that anybody else would want to do. And it's why people fight so hard for recognition in a way, because we have to go through harassment from just running in your neighborhood. And there are people saying they don't even care about the hard work that you put in. Then all that damage, like what was the point of it? Not to discredit anything. I think for me, the hardest challenge I face with sports is again with like the uniform things and Muslim, so I dressed a bit modestly and stuff like that. And I find like with the material of the pants that I wear, I don't wear shorts, right? So I have to wear leggings under them. And it's so much easier to wear leggings under men's shorts because they are like generally made wider, even though they're the same size and they're made more comfortable. But when I'm wearing like my uniform for women's sports, like why is everything like so tight and uncomfortable, even though they're the same size? And I feel like I understand men's bodies and women's bodies are different, but you don't have to like want to dress modestly. You can just want to be comfortable, like what Annika was saying. And not to discredit, not to move the whole topic away from harassment and stuff like that, but I do play on like a field, so it's not as much as like other things. But when I do condition and I do run outside a lot, quite a bit, my parents say like, oh, you got to bring this, this, and this, like you got to be safe, you got to know, like don't talk to anybody, if anyone's talking to you share a location. Like, and I get annoyed sometimes honestly because I feel like, oh, they're being so strict, but it's a safety things. And they do that with my brothers, but not to as extreme as they would, because as a woman you're generally more prone to getting attacked and things like that. So that's a gigantic struggle all not all but most women who are in the sport have to deal with, to bring it back to the question. The next question to kind of end off is, why do you guys feel like there is a large, I feel like this question can be interpreted so many different ways. So why do you guys personally feel like there's a large pay gap between men and women's sports?
I think that there's a multitude of reasons. I think one of the main ones being that my math teacher was talking about this the other day. He was talking about, I forgot the term, but it's basically a term where it describes how men often believe they can do something and end up failing, while women believe they can't do something and end up succeeding. And I think it's just a confidence term or something. And I feel like that applies to sports a lot, because sometimes men will be like, oh, watch this, I'm about to go school him. And then they fail and they're like, I'll get him next time, guys. Like, that was just a warm up. Whereas women, if that happened to them, they're embarrassed. They'd consider like going home or going being alone, like sometimes crying, just because we are made more emotional. And I think that kind of influences the difference sometimes. And also just because sometimes, well, I know a lot of people at, that I know who run in like the running community will only do it if their friend does it with them. And I feel like women just kind of have a sense of commitment, or like they like to be committed to something. And sometimes that's a person, sometimes that's a sport. But for them, it could be like they want to be with their friend playing, while men, they want to be with their friends, but like they also kind of want to show that they're good at something to those friends who maybe aren't doing that sport. So those are kind of my two big reasons.
I hate to ask, it was about the pay gap, right?
Yes, the
Okay.
question's about the pay gap.
Okay, you're good. I was listening and then I like lost my train of thought.
Wait, I'm so sorry. What was the question?
The pay gap. Why do you feel like there is such a large pay gap between the
I'm
two?
sorry. I didn't even answer the question.
You're good.
I thought it was something else. But I guess there's oh, I'll just let Annika answer that. I'm sorry. I really thought that was a question.
That's okay. I think for men's sports, I think like especially like men's soccer, I hear more about that than I do like women's soccer. I think that people are finding it more like entertaining, with quotes, I'm saying that. People find like the men's sports more entertaining rather than like a women's sport. I honestly cannot say why. For me personally, I enjoy watching both men and women's tennis or even co-ed because I mean, I think in the end it's still tennis. Like I went out to dinner and they were playing it on TV and I'm like, you know what? It's tennis. It's entertaining. Like women's sports are not as like, people don't want to watch that, I guess, as much as they would rather watch like the NBA or NFL or stuff like that.
To add on to that, I feel like my perspective is skewed in the way that I don't watch sports. I enjoy watching sports when they're like big, you know, like the World Cup. That was such a fun experience because my brother is a huge soccer fan. So I like to see other people happy watching sports, and that's how I get into it. But when I do watch sports, I tend to gear towards whatever. Like, I honestly cannot care less about the genders of the people. I do watch women's soccer quite a bit, if that count that counts. But like Annika said, I think mainly it's just an advertising issue in a way. I know it's kind of less biased in women's soccer and men's soccer because at the end of the day, it's how many goals you get. And then in running, you know, you could say you're faster than someone, but like the times are tracked and everything, so there's no way. So I enjoy where both genders are set up to succeed, like it is in tennis and how it is in like track and cross country. But I feel like in sports like basketball, where it's a height thing, men are genetically taller, you know? So when there's always an argument that's like, oh, I'm not going to watch a women's basketball game where they're only doing layups for the whole hour. Like maybe lower the rim to the average height of everyone, because that's how it was made in the NBA. They generally made the rim to the average sizes of the players at the time. So I feel like if women were giving the opportunity, since they are usually genetically shorter, they would be dunking, there would be women dunking, and it would be a more interesting game. So I feel like it's advertisement and opportunity. If we set both of those up to the point where it's at least not even the same, but around the same, you can have little girls who want to become professional players and don't get discouraged by these things, because most of them do. Like, I that happened to me when I was a kid, probably happened to a lot of other girls around them when they were a kid. And I feel like in the age that we are, where things are more modern, where I keep calling it like a revolutionary era, but it's not. But in the age of the Barbie movie, that's what I'm gonna say. In the age of the Barbie movie, we have an opportunity to make so many more opportunities for young girls and to motivate them to become more prominent figures in society, even though they are very prominent figures in society. And that's also why I wanted to be joined by these two girls, because they are prominent figures in the athletic world, whether you guys like it or not, to be honest, because t Taylor and Annika are pretty up there. Taylor just went to like regionals last year or something, right? Yeah.
Regionals in the States, yes, I did.
Not to kind of brag on them, but they're up there when it comes to sports. So we're going to get into the conclusion because we said a lot. This kind of ran over. I'm so sorry about that. Okay, guys, plug your social medias. Let's hear them. Your Instagram specifically.
Mine is just Annika.Mueller with two R's at the end.
Mine is Taylor Worrell, and it's Taylor and then WORL 21, I'm pretty sure.
Mine's is AMAAL underscore DUALE. And then Study Break social media on Instagram and TikTok is the Study Break Podcast on both platforms. You should tune in Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. All the other hosts are amazing people, and you would love the episodes, and we recently had them come out too. So that will be all for this week's episode. Thank you to our guests, Taylor and Annika. Do you guys have anything to kind of add in before we wrap it up today?
Don't let other people's opinions affect your own. You never know what you're truly capable of until you accomplish it.
I think that's totally fair. I think my advice is just to stay confident in yourself and don't doubt your ability because you think you might not be able to do something and then you end up doing it and it's a big achievement for you.
It is. To add one little thing, if you're a woman and you're discouraged, remember it's the Barbie era. I'm sorry, I keep saying that. In the age of Barbie, you guys can do anything, and you have so many people who love and support you in all of your aspirations. Hopefully you do, but if you don't, we on Study Break love and support you. All of our guests love and support you. Make sure you tune in 3 times every week on your favorite app, Spotify and Apple Music, Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. Follow Study Break on Spotify, Apple Music, YouTube, whatever you watch podcasts on. And that'll be it for today's episode. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.